Welcome to another broadcast of Studying the Scriptures. I'm your host, Dr. Todd Baker, director of Berit Hadashah Ministries in Dallas, Texas. Well, today is part two of our ongoing study of the Feasts of Israel. We concluded studying the seven Feasts of Israel, or more precisely, the Feasts of the Lord as given in the Torah in Leviticus 23. And then the Spirit of God led me to venture on into the two post-Mosaic Feasts of Israel. Post-Mosaic meaning they follow after the law of Moses, and they are in addition to the feasts, the seven feasts that were given under the legal Mosaic economy of Israel. And they are two feasts: the Feast of Hanukkah, however you want to pronounce it, and Purim. And so we are now talking about Hanukkah, and last time we were looking at the historical context and occasion for Hanukkah, and it dealt with the invasion by the Greco-Syrian ruler Antiochus Epiphanes, the great blasphemer and persecutor of the Jewish people. He had placed the land of Israel and the Jewish people under his cruel reign. And as he was in Alexandria, Egypt, on his campaign against Egypt, and he was on the verge of victory, and the Roman Republic intervened, they sent a delegation there, and he was told to cease and desist his campaign in Egypt. And rather than face the superior power of the armies of the Roman Republic, he acquiesced to the wishes of Rome, and he withdrew from Egypt in a rage. And so then his rage was, or I should say Satan, directed his rage toward Israel. He could not stomach the fact that the Roman Republic was going to terminate his desire to build the Seleucid Empire under his military command. You remember the story. The Roman Senate dispatched Ambassador Popilius Lanus and drew a line in the sand on the beach in Alexandria, Egypt, and he told Antiochus that you cannot cross this line until you make your decision. Will you retreat your forces, or would you risk war and defeat at the hands of the Roman army? Antiochus, knowing better, retreated, and he retreated in a rage. And as he was retreating from Egypt, a false rumor spread throughout the Middle East that he had been killed in battle. At this point, the deposed high priest Jason, who bribed Antiochus to get that office, gathered a respectable force of 1,000 soldiers and made a surprise attack on the city of Jerusalem. And the current high priest, Menelaus, who also bribed Antiochus for the high priesthood, was forced to flee Jerusalem. And when Antiochus learned of this, coupled with the fact of his humiliating retreat from Egypt, he became insanely enraged. And so he vented his anger on Jerusalem. He went there and defeated Jason's forces by his overwhelming forces and restored Menelaus, and then executed many Jews in the process. And remember last time I told you, if you want to read the historical account of the Maccabean revolt and events that led up to it by the atrocious actions of Antiochus. Read 1st and 2nd Maccabees, which is part of the Apocrypha. And in 2nd Maccabees, we read of the horrible and barbaric acts Antiochus carried out against the chosen people. In fact, in 2 Maccabees 5, we read as that when he returned to Jerusalem to put down this revolt, here's what he did, Antiochus, here's what he did. When these happenings were reported to the king, he thought that Judea was in revolt. Raging like a wild animal, he set out from Egypt and took Jerusalem by storm. He ordered his soldiers to cut down without mercy those whom they met and slay those who took refuge in their houses. There was a massacre of young and old, a killing of women and children, a slaughter of virgin and infants. In the space of 3 days, 80,000 were lost, 40,000 meeting a violent death, and the same number being sold into slavery. We read of this horrific account in 2 Maccabees chapter 5. And to then consolidate his empire, he then decided to Hellenize the nation of Israel. And the Hellenized, secular, and apostate Jews followed in his train, and both tried to force the Orthodox Torah-observant Jews to renounce their observance of the law of Moses and all that was associated with it, circumcision, Sabbath observance, and eating kosher. They tried to force them, on pain of death, to renounce those practices of Judaism. Antiochus and the apostate Jewish coalition with him. Now, what exactly did they do? Well, they desecrated the temple by sacrificing a pig on its altar and forcing the Jewish people to follow in the same apostate path. And not only that, they turned the temple of God into a pagan temple devoted to the worship of Zeus. 2 Maccabees 6:1-11 narrates this most disturbing act of Antiochus and his band of apostate Jews under him. The narrative states, "Not long after this, the king sent an Athenian minister to force the Jews to abandon the customs of their ancestors and live no longer by the laws of God, also to profane the temple in Jerusalem and dedicate it to Olympian Zeus, and that on Mount Gerizim to Zeus the hospitable, as the inhabitants of the place requested. They also brought into the temple things that were forbidden, so that the altar was covered with abominable offerings prohibited by the laws. A man could not keep the Sabbath or celebrate the traditional feast, nor even admit that he was a Jew. And if you did any of these things to affirm that you were a Jew and who followed the practices of Judaism, you were put to death. It was either renounce your faith and become an apostate, or die for your faith. And then the narrative goes on to say that many were arrested and put to death who refused to renounce their faith in Yahweh and to follow and observe the law of Moses in obedience to him. And so It's the same thing that's been done to the Jewish people from time immemorial. Either renounce the acknowledgement and worship of the one true God and assimilate and accept the false gods of the Gentile world, or die. It was either assimilate or die. And many in Israel at that time refused to bow the knee to the false god Zeus that was set up in the defiled temple at Jerusalem. And the image that Antiochus set up of Zeus had his, Antiochus's face on it. And later on we will show you how that the character and acts of Antiochus Epiphanes against the Jews mirrors and prophetically prefigures the destructive acts of the Antichrist, the Antichrist to come in the last days. And his persecution of the Jews, the Antichrist's persecution of the Jews, will be universal and far more devastating than was Antiochus in 167 B.C. And so Antiochus not only defiled the temple and placed a statue of Zeus in the Holy of Holies with his face on it, he also attempted to force the Jewish people to renounce biblical monotheism and in its place worship Zeus in the face and image of Antiochus. Zeus, as you know, was the supreme deity of the Greek pantheon of gods. And on December 25th, on Kislev the 25th, and remember Hanukkah begins on that day, and we'll discover why later, on that day was, according to Greek pagan mythology, the birthday of Zeus. So what did Antiochus, who worshipped Zeus, what did he do on that day? Well, that's when he offered a pig on the altar. Keep in mind that the pig was the ultimate unclean animal in the Jewish dietary laws, and therefore it was the ultimate abomination to the Jewish mind. Antiochus sprinkled the pig's blood on the Holy of Holies and poured its broth over the holy scrolls before he cut them to pieces and burned them down. This no doubt left many Jewish, righteous Jewish people shocked and horrified at this apostate action. So the temple, the holy temple in Jerusalem, that once housed the Shekinah glory of God, was converted to a pagan shrine of idolatry to Zeus. And with these sacrilegious acts, Antiochus issued legal decrees prohibiting the practice of Judaism on pain of death, and it was enforced, rigorously enforced, by spies, house searches, and carrying programs, or in executing programs, that forced public worship. And those who failed to worship Zeus and follow the Greek pagan religion of Antiochus were put to death. If anyone was caught observing the Sabbath or the dietary laws or performing circumcision or reading the Torah, that person and his or her family was put to death. Indeed, these were the darkest days in Israel's history, and certainly during the intertestamental period between the Old Testament and the New Testament. For 3.5 years, this persecution, this tyranny against the Jewish people, pagan tyranny, continued unabated until finally the family of Mattathias and the Maccabees who issued from his loins occurred. When did this happen? Well, the revolt occurred here in this town. The Maccabean Revolt, as history now records for us. It began when a Syrian detachment of soldiers were sent to the small village of Modin, about 17 miles northwest of Jerusalem. In that small town, this detachment built pagan altars to Zeus and proceeded to sacrifice pigs in worship of this false god. And the soldiers assembled the people there by force. And they came to a very old priest who belonged to the Levite priesthood. His name was Mattathias. He was taken from the crowd and summarily ordered by the soldiers to offer a pig to the Greek gods in honor and worship of Antiochus. Mattathias stoutly refused. He and his five sons stood up to this threat. Worship a false god or die. Mattathias, and his sons were five. John, Simon, Judah, Eleazar, and Jonathan. He told Antiochus' soldiers that he would never, never worship a false god. Immediately after his defiant response, a young person from the crowd, an apostate priest actually, approached the altar built for the worship of Zeus, and he requested permission to offer the pig. Everyone knew what was to follow. After the sacrifice, the inhabitants Modine would then be forced to then eat the pig and be considered one with the offering. Mattathias could not take this blasphemous act anymore, and he quickly took the sword from the hand of the Syrian officer and killed him. Then rushing forward, he ran the sword through the body of this apostate priest, and then his five sons joined the resistance and slew the remaining soldiers in Modin. They tore down the altar, and knowing that Antiochus would retaliate with death, they fled to the surrounding hills of Judea, and so was born the Maccabean Revolt. Eventually, this rebellion grew and gained strength. They resorted to guerrilla warfare, and they went throughout the villages and cities of Israel, tearing down these pagan altars and rebuking those Jews who compromised and apostatized from the faith. After a year of this rebellion, the brave and courageous Mattathias died, and his leadership was passed to Judas, or Judah, Maccabee. He was the first one to have this Hebrew moniker, Maccabee. Actually, the Hebrew word is Maccavit, meaning hammer, thus denoting his decisive and his surprise method of attack and defeat of the Syrian Greek soldiers of Antiochus. For 3 years, the revolt raged on from about 167 to 164 BC. The Maccabean Revolt gradually gained the upper hand against the Syrian Greco forces, and finally they met the enemy in open battle, in two battles that were fought in Beth Horon and Emmaus. In both times, the Maccabean armies achieved startling victory. And eventually they made their way to Jerusalem, and they were able to retake the city. Where was Antiochus? Well, Antiochus was fighting a battle in Persia against the Parthians. He heard of this second revolt against his authority, and as he was losing the battle, to the Parthians, he was making his way back to Judea or Israel to put down this revolt when suddenly he was struck down with worms and a intestinal disease, and he died suddenly, no doubt by the hand of God. And so Antiochus Epiphanes was struck down quickly and decisively, no doubt under the judgment of God for his persecution and hatred for the chosen people. So he suffered the negative and punitive consequences of the Abrahamic covenant given in Genesis 12, 1 through 3, and that is that all who raise their hand to curse, harm, or injure the Jewish people, God's chosen people, they in turn will be cursed and destroyed by God. And Antiochus Epiphanes is one of many, many graves in the graveyard of anti-Semitic nations and peoples who have foolishly thought they could oppose and destroy God's people. Well, the Maccabean forces made it into Jerusalem, and to their horror, the temple was burned, and there was much desecration. The courtyards and the altar were neglected, and there in the courtyard was the blasphemous and idolatrous statue of Zeus with the face of Antiochus on it. They quickly began to cleanse the sanctuary. They removed the statue of Zeus with the face of Antiochus, and they began to restore and rededicate the temple from its defiled condition. And they rebuilt the holy altar, and they completed it on Kislev 165 BC, exactly 3 years to the day when Antiochus Epiphanes defiled it. They, on the same day, 3 years later, rededicated the altar to the Lord. And this now brings us to the very heart of the reason for the celebration of Hanukkah. They rededicated the temple and its altar. And if you remember the last lesson we had, I mentioned that Hanukkah is the Hebrew word for dedication, to dedicate. Well, what happened? Well, they came into the temple, they went into the holy place and the Holy of Holies, and they discovered as they were rededicating the golden lampstand, the menorah, that it had only enough oil for 1 day's supply of burning. Now remember, the Torah said that this golden lampstand was to continually burn before the Lord. It represents the Word of God and His eternal Spirit, which is eternally existent. So it has to keep burning continuously to accurately symbolize that fact. Well, to their horror, they discovered they only had 1 day's supply for the golden lampstand. And so they prayed and asked God to make this oil supply last for 8 days. Why 8 days? Because it took 8 days to replenish it with new oil. And what happened? Well, supernaturally, and by a miraculous act of God, this 1 day supply of oil lasted and burned for 8 days until a new supply of oil could be consecrated. And here we have the historical miracle for why Hanukkah is celebrated and observed for 8 days. It's a beautiful type and shadow, is it not? Now, before we go into the observance of Hanukkah during Jesus' time and up into the modern observance today among the Jewish people, let's go back and talk about Antiochus Epiphanes. Because again, remember what I said in part one of Hanukkah, that the events surrounding Hanukkah point to events that will occur during the end times, specifically during the 7-year tribulation period with the rise of Antichrist and his attempt to persecute and destroy the Jewish people, just like Antiochus attempted to do in his day. And as we look at this, I am indebted to an article written by Larry Cockerham. Larry Cockerham. My reading glasses kind of tilted there and I couldn't read the name. Anyway, he has an excellent article illustrating the parallel, the prophetic parallel between Antiochus Epiphanes and the future Antichrist to come. So let's look at this in more detail. And this again is how the historical events surrounding Hanukkah foreshadow and point to the end time events of the tribulation, when the Antichrist will arise and seek to destroy the Jewish people, just as Antiochus attempted to do from 167 to 164 BC. So let's look at these parallels. First of all, the prophecies of Antiochus Epiphanes are given in Daniel 8, verses 9 through 14, 23 through 25, and Daniel 11, 21 and 35. And so remember that prophetic events always cast their historical shadows before them. This is true of the blasphemous Antiochus Epiphanes. His actions and his claims cast a historical shadow before us, prefiguring the Antichrist to come. So what Antiochus did in his claims of being God and his persecution, an attempt to destroy the Jewish people, these will occur on a much larger scale with and when the Antichrist comes. So we have here with Antiochus Epiphanes, as well as the future Antichrist, the law of double reference in prophecy. That law states that one event foreshadows and announces the second event as well, and both are fulfilled through this double reference. Now let's look at both of these individuals, Antiochus and the Antichrist. First of all, both involve two end time periods. When it comes to the larger picture, these two periods of persecution towards the Jewish people leading up to the first and second comings of Christ are portrayed in both Antiochus as well as those of the coming Antichrist. Lehman Strauss, excellent Bible prophecy teacher, states it this way. Both of these periods witness the wrath of God being extended to His chosen people. The first of these periods of wrath commenced with the Babylonian captivity and concluded with the atrocities of Antiochus, after which there was deliverance. The second of these periods is yet future. It will commence with the beginning of the 70th week of Daniel and conclude with the atrocities of Antichrist, after which there will be deliverance for the Jewish people. We will continue with this theme, the theme of Antiochus Epiphanes paralleling the future career of the coming Antichrist, next time I'm with you. Until then, Shalom, Yeshua HaMashiach Aleichem. May the peace of Jesus the Messiah be with you.